Welcome to the Holistic Health Show, where the worlds of science and spirituality converge to illuminate a path towards total well-being. Join us as we embark on a journey to bridge the gap between Western medicine and complementary therapies.
Welcome back to the Holistic Health Show. I'm very excited to introduce our guest to you today. We have Kelly Luttman on the show. Now, Kelly is in the United States. She's in Louisiana. She's a health coach trained in functional medicine. And Kelly, your business is Pursue Wellness for You. I can't wait to hear about this, Kelly. What can you tell us about what you do and just a little bit about yourself?
Well, it's funny because, you know, we have these seasons in our life that change. And originally my training was in accounting, but chose to be home with my kids and homeschool them. In the process of homeschooling all three of my boys, I found that one of them clearly had ADD. Oh, and, you know, what was I going to do about that? I identified that fact based on a panel discussion of parents with ADD kids on the radio. And I'm thinking, they are describing my son. What do I do with that? And I wasn't willing to just get him diagnosed and put on medication. So I started researching and I found a book by Dr. Benjamin Feingold, Why Your Child is Hyperactive. And his theory was that a lot of hyperactivity was reaction to artificial colors and flavors in foods. And so it made sense. It didn't seem unreasonable to try his protocol for 2 weeks. And we did. We removed them all from our diet as a family for 2 weeks' time. And at the end of that 2 weeks, he was a different child. It was night and day difference. And it was kind of like that spark of, wow, all we did was change our food and look at the result it had. And so, of course, we continued that protocol. We continued eating that way as a family, but he wouldn't police himself. And I could tell when he walked in the door if he had had something that was off protocol because it was that quick reaction. But that started me on the path toward health coaching. Because I thought, you know, if food can do that for him, what else can it do? What else can we learn? And as soon as I finished homeschooling my boys through high school, I went back to school for myself and trained as a health coach and practiced as health coach for several years, but really felt I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to be able to do more for my clients quicker. And I trained through the school in applied functional medicine. And that has made a major difference in my ability as a health coach to work with clients that have very complex situations. You know, IBS, type 2 diabetes can be reversed. The medical professionals generally don't say that. But when you start looking at what's going on in the body and working on what's working against the body to minimize it and maximize what it needs, things can turn around. The body can be amazingly resilient.
I know that you really wanted to talk about how you can empower cancer patients on improving their journey living with cancer. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, as a health coach, as a functional medicine practitioner, I've supported several cancer patients through their journeys in the process of treatment. But what really turned things around for me last spring of last year was a friend of mine who I'd known for several years reaching out to me by email and saying, Kelly, I'm getting ready to start my journey, you know, start my treatment for breast cancer. And I've got a binder almost 2 inches thick with all the details of my protocol, my treatment plan. And all it says for nutrition is drink Ensure and Carnation Instant Breakfast. And she said, I've known you long enough to know there's so much more and I need you on my team. And so I did join her team and coach her. She did amazingly. There were still rough days, but overall she came through very well. But I couldn't let go of that. You know, how many patients are being told that Ensure and Carnation Instant Breakfast would give them anything of value? And so I decided to write a book, Thriving Through Cancer, A Holistic Approach for Your Journey. And the whole idea for the book is providing guidance for the cancer patient to support the rest of their body while they're going through treatment. You know, cancer patients get the diagnosis and their schedule is taken away. They're dictated when you will be where, what, who, and they never ask, does this work for you?
And you're never given information. It's overwhelm. It is for the whole family. It's just they throw this information at you with little to no explanation, and you're expected just to show up and submit to whatever it is the doctors are saying. And of course, some of this is life-saving. I'm not saying that, no, you shouldn't go through with this and you shouldn't be listening to your doctors. Absolutely, you should. But you should be asking questions, you know, and like what your friend did, is reaching out to people you trust to supplement the care that you're getting and to make sure you're getting exactly what it is you as an individual need.
To realize you need a team, you need multiple people, because sadly, even if there are nutritionists or dietitians in the cancer treatment center, they are more concerned with your maintaining weight in whatever you eat to do it, rather than realizing there are foods that are going to suppress your body, or there are foods that are going to nourish and invigorate your body. So I embarked on this just to write, what did I recommend for the clients I did support, what worked for them, but explaining why eating sugar is not wise when you're a cancer patient. But on the other side, then I also included a chapter on how do you maintain weight without eating sugar? Because the quick way is, you know, fill up on the milkshakes and the candy and the cakes and things like that. But that's feeding the cancer more than it's feeding the beneficial cells. And so I added in a chapter on, okay, how do you maintain your weight healthfully? And then there's a chemo toolbox chapter. How do you tolerate the chemo a little better? How do you help your body go through that process? Because when you look at it, cancer may be a very small part, a percentage of your body, but your whole body is going through the treatment. And that treatment is designed to kill cancer. But if your body is not supported along the way, it can be collateral damage too. In the holistic health environment, it's not just about what you're eating. It's how you're living, how you're moving, how you're thinking. And fear is a huge issue for cancer patients. I mean, understandably, if the doctor tells you you have cancer, you're immediately going to all the thoughts of, who do I know that's already died from cancer or has suffered in the treatment, or all the what ifs that just kind of explode in your brain and can shut down your physiology, can shut down your immune system so that it's not there to help you, but also just keeps you spinning and spiraling in your head. And that doesn't work in support of the cancer patient. And who will explain? Who will educate? Sometimes people really need, more than anything, they need someone to listen to what they're dealing with and acknowledge that it's hard, acknowledge that it's a difficult place, but also help them realize that they've got the power to come through it. One that believes in their ability, in their body's resilience, that believes in their body's ability to heal. And they don't always hear that from the medical personnel.
No. And I mean, it's already a very difficult journey from the illness itself to the impacts it has on family, on the individual, you know, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. To have someone that you can talk to who's going to validate how you're feeling and not just give you another, well, we'll see how this run goes, you know, we'll get through this and then we'll talk when this treatment session is over. And just an ear, that has a huge impact as well. And I know you mentioned this, but it comes full circle. It's what you eat. It's how you approach it. It's your attitude, you know, positive thinking. There's really a lot to be said about that.
Definitely. And some people say, well, I don't feel like being positive right now. That's okay. That's okay. But to entertain the possibility, to entertain the options, to say, instead of looking at those you know who may have passed, how many do you know who have survived? How many do you know who can come through this better? And sometimes my work is to counter almost the bedside manner of the oncologist. Some of them are just, and I realize if I worked in that environment all the time, there would have to be a little bit of stealing to protect the emotions of the practitioner as well. But that doesn't help the individual patient necessarily.
I think that in order for them to do that, to put up that wall, because having any sick patient is a challenge. You know, you do feel for them. But I think part of putting up that wall is some practitioners will take the approach that they see the cancer and not the person. And I think that's where the fault comes in. I think that's where it's important to make sure you have that team where the majority of the team sees the person. You've got somebody over here working on what needs to be done for the cancer, but then what needs to be done for the body and what needs to be done for the mind and bringing that together. And wouldn't it be amazing if the medical system made that their approach, if that was easier to do? I mean, wouldn't that be, you know, that's my dream. It just doesn't really exist at the moment. Not yet, not everywhere anyway.
Not built into the system, but for people to hear something like this, you know, this program to say, oh, you mean I've got the choice? I can add people to my team. I can recruit the ones I need to recruit to be a part of it. And to be honest, I even talk in the book a little bit about you may need to decide who you spend time with and who you don't, because the person that tends to have a negative perspective or is always talking about the things they Googled and all the negative stuff that came up, you know, if that person is bringing you down and challenging your perspective, then it may be better to separate and spend less time with them in order to protect your own mindset. But then there are things that you can do that we don't always give the value to for us as human beings. Spending time in nature is so important. You know, you may not be physically in a place where you can walk in a forest, or you're not in a place where there are many trees and forests, but if you can get by a tree, if you can sit under a tree, if you can sit barefoot with your feet on grass or dirt or sand and ground, you are going to find the positive mindset aspect of being out in nature.
I actually have a full episode on that, on grounding. Anyone who is listening, definitely take that advice. Go back and, you know, scroll through the episodes I have and find the one on grounding. It's very informative and it gives you some really easy ideas. Like you mentioned, if you're not mobile and if you live in the middle of a city, you know, it's not always easy to get out, but there's some tips and tricks in there on how you can start the grounding process and adapt that into your life really easily. The benefits are remarkable.
It is. It is. And I've had clients that weren't sure how they were going to incorporate it. There's ways to work it out. You know, if you're walking your dog, kick your shoes off and walk in the grass alongside the dog for a little bit and then put them back on and go on your way. So many different ways. But something as simple as that can work not only for your body, but for your mind.
And I think that's what's important, is keeping it really simple. It's really easy to look at it and go, well, I don't have enough time. I already have so many things to do. How am I now going to add this in? You know, I can barely make it to my doctor's appointments. But it's by taking these little things. And like you said, when you're walking the dog, and I mean, obviously you have to make sure you're safe, but it's just, you need to find things that just are in your daily life, 5 minutes, 10 minutes that you're already doing, and you can modify the way you're doing it to accommodate something that's really going to benefit yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And a big one is the food we eat, you know, letting go of the processed packaged foods and discovering the produce section and the colors in that produce. You know, the colors are nutrients. Eat the rainbow. And I talk about the benefits of the different colors in the rainbow, the ways to maximize. I explain the digestive system and how important just chewing is. We overlook that. You know, so many of us are so occupied with all the stuff around us, we're not appreciating the food on our plate, and we're not taking the time to chew and process it to help us start the digestive process. A lot of my clients, I've worked with clients that had acid reflux, and one of the first things we start with is chewing. That'll be their first homework assignment, is really stop and chew your food. And they'll come back saying, wow, I can't believe how much difference that made.
It's interesting you say that because I don't think people realize, you know, we have teeth, obviously, to make it easier to get food in our body. But it's not just to get the food in our body. It's not just, we don't just, you can't just insert food into the stomach and it all works from there. You need to really use those teeth and start processing the food right from there.
Exactly. It's mechanical and chemical because in the process of chewing, you're mixing the saliva, which has the enzymes that begin the digestion. That's actually the only part of digestion we can control. So take advantage of something you can control and spend more time chewing.
I appreciate that it can be very difficult to change your diet, especially if it's a drastic change. You know, if you're eating, and dare I say, the typical American diet where, you know, you hear about it's just oversized and it's kind of fast food or deep fried and lots of sugary nights. You know, you have junk food night, but if you're having junk food night every day, you know, you go for that 3 p.m. snack and it's a few lollies that you have on your desk instead of a handful of nuts. It is going to be a challenge to adopt. And I wonder what you would say about this, but I think I would say, again, make the small changes. Start small and just build that habit.
Exactly. And insert a little something different. Whether it's go and pick something out of the produce section, maybe it's an apple, I don't know, maybe it's an orange, whatever it is, but just begin to add that in. And then if you find that you want more, you can add some more, but it's little by little, you can begin to crowd out the food that's working against you rather than having to do a drastic. Now, some will be okay, this is my life. I am willing to make the big changes. But most people are like, oh, this is too much to think about and it's hard. So yes, there are some adjustments. As part of the book, I created a book portal, a website, because I recognize that many cancer patients aren't in a place where they can read and comprehend very easily. They're not up for reading books. And so what I did was I did the main 10 chapters in video. So through a QR code on the resource page of the book, they can go to my book portal and see the chapters in video and then have access to recipes to introduce some of this good food, to other resources that I mentioned, you know, therapies that can help them. Just to look at maybe these are other team members that you want to consider or explore to expand what was harder to put in print with the book. And each of the chapters has a short put it into action guidance so that it's very simple, little steps. So of course, it's available on Amazon, which is worldwide, and they can get an ebook or a print book either way. But, you know, that's a start. And then all they need is the book to get into the book portal and get more information that way.
So now we know that this book is available. So that's a great first start. And then how does somebody in that situation reach out? Where does somebody who's overwhelmed with all this information, this new diagnosis anyway, begin to think about doing these things? You know, hopefully listening to this podcast is going to help them. Do you have any resources or ideas about how people can share with their friends?
Well, I think one of the things is just first find out what it is they feel the weakest in. You know, do they need help with their food? What kind of help do they need? And start with friends that you know. Maybe they would research or you know, go online and explore oncology health coaches, because there are, I know several who are trained in functional medicine, but focus on oncology. They could certainly reach out to me and I can guide them and direct them in some other ways. But there are so many other modalities to help with relaxing and unwinding. On the book portal, I have some sound therapy for relaxation. You know, it could be that you need to tap through a tapping technique or emotional freedom technique can help to work through all the fears and the questions and the debates that you're thinking. So I have reference on the book portal for a tapping coach. I want to be able to focus on the whole person. That's why the title even uses holistic, but spelled W-H-O-L-E-istic, because there's so much involved, and each person's need for their team members may be different. You know, someone may be pretty secure in their head space, but they need guidance for what to do with food or with movement, things like that. I didn't make it prominent in the book, but there are numerous scientific studies that are endnoted in the book, so that if there was someone who really wanted to know what's this all about, they could go back to those studies. A lot of it was from the training and my experience and what I knew and who I've encountered in my own journey for health, and finding that there's so many different modalities in the sound, in the EFT, in Reiki, acupuncture.
That's why I'm so intrigued by your book, is because it's just a great starting place for anyone who, again, it's the overwhelm. And that's what I was trying to get at earlier. How the hell do you know where to start? Okay, yes, I might immediately know to change my diet, but what else? If you do know somebody who's going through cancer or any health problems, and they, you know, you want to help them and they don't know where to start or what to do, maybe just have a look at the book and gift it to them. Sometimes all people need is to just be in that quiet space and not have people pushing on them what they should do. But if you have this book in front of you and you can read it in the quiet of your own home, where, you know, you don't have all the voices kind of in your ear, that people might make better decisions that way.
I agree. I really appreciate that perspective, because so often when you say, I've got a diagnosis or whatever, people start jumping in with their stories, and they heard this person and this and that. And that doesn't necessarily help us. We do need to kind of pull back in that quiet place and evaluate, okay, where am I? What do I need? And what's going to help me take those first steps toward that? What's my choice? You know, setting an intention about the whole experience of the treatment journey. If your intention is that it's going to be positive, the outcome is going to be positive, and you are not going to suffer, but neither are the people that are treating you. You're not going to make it miserable for them either. So you can almost come at it with a choose laughter. Choose a new perspective, because it will also influence the people around you.
Absolutely. Kelly, this has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today.
I am always happy to speak to someone about stuff that's I'm passionate about.
Hopefully we've informed a whole lot more people.
I appreciate what you do to spread the message of hope and possibility and future for people in whatever their situation. If you're interested in the book specifically, you can go to kellylutman.com, KellyLutman. That's where you will find specifically the ways to find the book. But my website is Pursue Wellness for You. And if they had an inquiry specifically for me, kelly@pursuewellnessforyou.com is the way to get me by email.
I'll link all the resources that we spoke about today in the description, the website. So if you're listening and you want to reach out to Kelly, absolutely scroll down, hit those links and get in touch with her. As she said, she'd be more than happy to reply to any of your questions. And if you liked the episode today, I encourage you to hit subscribe, hit the bell so you're notified when there are new episodes coming out. I always appreciate all of your honest feedback. And so if you could please do that with a rating and a review, it helps me reach more people and it keeps me motivated to when I read those. So I appreciate everyone, the audience. Thank you, Kelly. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today.
I appreciate you offering the opportunity.
Thanks for joining me on the Holistic Health Show and trusting me to guide you towards proactive healthcare. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform and get ready to embark on an incredible journey toward holistic wellness. Until next time, be well and stay holistic.